Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen.
And I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you on this evening. We are so excited that you have joined us here for another broadcast, hearing what thus saith the Lord. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to hear my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, bring the word on tonight. He's been studying diligently. The Lord has been speaking to him, and I want to hear what he has to say. Amen. I hope you do too. But before we do that, let's go into the announcement really quick, and then following the announcement, we have prayer, and then once prayer is completed, we are preparing our hearts to hear the word. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast we have live at www.ctkr.org. That is our website, and we do invite you there to visit us. Take some time out to learn about the ministries that God has graced us to cover. Amen. And as well as becoming active with you and just beginning to learn you as well as you learn us. For example, if any of you would like any information concerning us in general, myself or Apostle McQueen, the Church Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or you would like us to minister at any one of your programs that you have at your church, amen, or if you just want to be a blessing, a financial blessing to this ministry, as you're on our website, once again, www.ctkr.org, go to the top of the page, follow the instructions there, amen, and someone will, A, contact you within 48 hours or whatever it is that you are looking for, whether that's a donation, whether that's a prayer request, amen, someone will definitely be responsive to you, amen, amen. Also want to let you know that we do have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook page. You can locate us under either Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Yes. Amen. We definitely want to know how this ministry broadcast is blessing your life. Amen. If you want, again, any prayer requests, we definitely want to hear from you. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer, and then the next voice you will hear will be none other than my husband, Apostle McQueen. Let us pray, people of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we bless your name. We give your name all praise, all glory, all honor. God, there is no one else like you. We lift up our hands in this place. our hearts are open to receive from you in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being God Almighty. We thank you that there is no other God but you. Now, Father, as we come before you, we humble ourselves at your feet this evening. We ask that you would begin to have your way in our lives. Father, whatever you see by the Spirit, God, we ask that you will remove it, every hindrance, God, every heat, every weight that we have allowed to beset us, every sin. We ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus, that our hearts will be cleansed, that our hands will be uplifted, that we will begin to be purified before you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence, not just to be in love, but we ask that you would just rest in this place, God. Let the weight of your glory just rest and abide in this house, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministry. Father, we just begin to bless your name and glorify your name, that you prepare the mind and our heart, God, to receive from you on this evening. Lord, we just move aside everything that has distracted us from the day. Move aside everything that has pulled us out of your presence, and we're just coming in to focus our hearts and our minds on you this evening. We are ready to receive the word of God this evening. We are ready to build, as my husband has been ministry. We're ready to go to the next level of building God's word on us in the name of Jesus. So that as the people continue to come, God, we will be in a place to receive. We will have a mind of Christ. We will have a heart of Christ. We will move like Christ. That's what we're asking for in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, crown the apostle head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Speak through him this evening, God, for your people. Let him have a word that's going to bring deliverance. Let him have a word that's going to bring healing in the lives and the minds of your people. God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. This voice we hear, let us receive Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, we're so grateful for what God is doing. Thank you, Prophetess, for that dynamic and awesome prayer. I want you to know that God is doing some awesome things. And maybe at this time you're looking for someone to touch and agree with you. You're looking for someone to say a prayer with you. We are yet working on different components of our streaming and what God's giving us to do. Amen. If you are on our website, www.ttkr, all you have to do is go to the media page, and you should see the Blog Talk Radio, or you should see the aperture there, the live stream. You'll see us there, as well as we are setting up for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Church Online. Amen. So we're looking at what God is doing. And when I talk about it's time to build, I really mean that it's time to build. Mm-hmm. Time out for what we did back in the day. Today is a new day, and it's time for us to do greater. Amen. And when we talk about greater works. Amen. So when I talk about greater works, I'm talking about those things in our life, amen, that we have to do that will bring us to a new place in God. Amen.
Amen.
Today, we're spending a lot of time in class and at the institution. I got to a place where I heard something that really blessed me. I'm quite sure that the instructors had no idea that it would have this impact on me. But he said something that I want to share with you all today. Amen? So what he said to me was, we stress or we push the students, amen, and we push them until they get to a place where they are making mistakes. All right? Now that has sunk in. He said, we push them to a place where they're making mistakes so then we can begin to teach and train them. All right? Did you catch what I just said? Because if you are in class and if you are at a post-secondary institution, educational institution, and you should be learning, but you are not challenged, then that means you paid your money, but you're not getting anything out of the experience other than the fact that you have a receipt for it. Amen. At the end of the day, your diploma or your degree is nothing more than a paper that shows that you paid your way through. Amen. But when you actually go there and you begin to learn, and you begin to learn from the instruction, amen, it begins to do some greater things for you, amen, in your life. So he said we make sure that we push them to a point where they start making mistakes. At that point, then we know where we need to start our instruction form. Isn't that how God does it to us? While you were living your life going along, everything seemed to be easy and you had it all together. And then God came along and began to put some mandates upon you, and you found that you couldn't do it yourself. You needed His help. And that's when the Holy Spirit stepped in. That's why He is a teacher. That's why He is a comforter. Amen. That's why He's a guide. Amen. You can't do it by yourself. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God that He came down and took time with us and showed Himself to us and left an example for us so we know what to do and why to do it. Amen. Now we can go on and be better at who He called us to be. I want you to know that you can't beat me being me. Yeah. Amen. You can try, but you can't beat me being me. Amen. And let me share something else with you. This is going to bless you too. I can't beat you being you.
Right.
That means that I got to stop trying to be you and just be me. And be who God called me to be. Amen. And know that this is the day and the time that God has called us into this place. Now, let's get into this word. We're dealing with this time to build. Amen. And as we're dealing with this, just in recapping, we went from building of a tabernacle or the temporary dwelling place. Amen. This is where God dwells among the people. Amen. And when He dwells among the people, He's really not among them. Amen. He's leading them by a cloud, pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. When He comes to meet them or comes to deal with them, He really descends upon a tent of meeting. Amen. It is at that place that He begins to speak to Moses and give him instruction. Amen. Joshua was always accompanying him, but he was always standing at the door. Amen. Never able to go in. Huh? So he was one who was with Moses. When Moses was up in the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, halfway up the mountain was Joshua waiting on Moses as he came down from the higher levels down to where he was. Amen? So God was among them, but God wasn't really with them.
All right.
You understand? He was close enough for them to perceive that He was there, but yet He was far enough away that they will get into some trouble. You all know that we went into Numbers and we began to talk about this golden calf and some of these other things that they were doing. And so as they began to see Him as the cloud at the front of the camp, at the rear of the camp, some mess was going on. Sometimes we have people who come to church and you think that just because you're not sitting up front on the front row that can't nobody perceive.
Absolutely.
What's in your spirit? I want you to know that the Holy Spirit ain't blind. He ain't crazy. And listen, you don't have to be here for the Holy Spirit to speak to us about what you're doing. I never understood until I got older and had children of my own or had a child of my own that I found out that there are some things that I've done in my life that I can watch myself starting to try to do. And I already know the outcome of it, so I come to him while he's trying to sneak around to get to it, and I would speak to him and tell him something, and he would look at me and bewilder me trying to figure out who told you what I was doing. Nobody told me. I just realized and recognized what I did before and see you about to go do it your time. Amen? So same thing here. We see that as the pillar of fire was at the front, or the pillar of fire was at the front, there was some mess going on in the back, amen. And God knew what was going on, amen. At this point in time, God asked them, asked Moses to ask the people concerning what he needed them to bring in order for him to build the temple, I mean, the tabernacle, amen. And understand, the things that they gave was at such a level that they had to be restrained from giving. Exodus 36 and 6, amen. I want that it would get to the day where we can actually tell the people, listen, I want you to bless something else or do something else because we have more than enough, amen. But what we have is in the household of faith now is greed. Lord Jesus, help us today. I'm not talking about everybody, but those that I am talking about, you can tell. And these are the ones who actually try to get more and do more and have more and be more, and ain't nobody on my level. Can't nobody rise to my occasion or rise to the occasion. When I walked in, you should have recognized that I showed up and sat down or back up or at least, you know, gave me the nod because after all, I am. See? This ain't about you. This is about him. Amen? So when we are doing the work and God gives us the resource, we can do more work with more resource. Amen? And I'm so grateful that God gives us the ability to do that. Amen? Moses asked the people to give a God command, and they give the best of what they have to the point that they were restrained. Now, look at this, because I gave it to you. He gave them instruction, he gave them favor, and he gave them strength. Instruction is where to go get the wealth. Favor was so that it would be released in their hands. And then strength so that they could carry the wealth with them after they left out of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, there's some times that God is going to bring you out of some places that you're going to come out. And when you come out, you're not coming out empty-handed. You're coming out with your blessing. You're coming out spoiling the enemy, amen. You went in one way, but God's going to bring you out another way. I know you went in with good intention, and the thing turned on you while you were there. Just like they went in, Joseph was in there, and when his family came, in order for them to be saved from the famine, the intention was good. They were given the land of Goshen, amen. But as we read in Exodus, the first chapter, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and they enslaved the people and then oppressed them, amen? So what was supposed to be good and a good thing sort of switched on you. Here you are 400 and some odd years, you're stuck in a situation and you can't come out yourself. Thank God for Jesus that every once in a while when you get stuck, God has sent somebody in to bring you out, amen? Amen. So they come out then, but when they come out with wealth. They come out, and the Bible says very simply in Psalms 105:37 that they came out, and not a feeble one was among them. God will give you strength and give you favor and bring you out. Amen. And then we went into the second part of this, which is the building of the temple, amen, which is the permanent dwelling place, amen. And look at what happens here. As we went in, we looked and we saw that David took time and put things aside because he wanted to build a house for the Lord, amen. But the Lord said, you can't build a house for me because your hands are blood, amen. But I will allow your son Solomon, who will reign after you, to go ahead and build the house. So David began to set some things aside. 1 Corinthians, the 29th chapter, amen. He begins to set things aside and get things together. And then after we see in 2 Chronicles, the 2nd chapter, we see that Solomon now has resources and he begins to set aside the man or the manpower that is needed, amen. He begins to set aside those things that will be needed in order to build, amen, the temple, amen. So he then calls over to the king of Tyre and asks him, listen, as you've been with my father, David, so be with me, because the task that I have is great. Amen. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God didn't call you to mediocrity. I wish I could preach right here, but I got to keep moving. Let me just say something about mediocrity here, because sometimes what happens is you get so used to your mundane life that you feel that that's all that there is to your existence. But God calls you to greater, amen. I shared with you Daniel, the 11th chapter, the 32nd verse. It says that they that know their God will do great. In other words, they that know their God will not be swayed by those who come with flatteries, amen. We're talking about the king of the north. He's going to come and make covenant and with all these kind of worldly words and flattery. He's going to try to persuade those who don't honor God to keep on doing that. But they that know their God, will stand and will stand him, and the Bible says, and they will do great exploits. Miracles, signs, and wonders will occur. Amen. You need to go on and read that, because one of the things that you see in Daniel, as I'm speaking here, you'll see that they're going to go through some things. Amen. And for those of you who've been listening to the lie that the enemy has burst out into Christendom, that if you're going through something, it's because sin is in your life. The devil is a liar. Let me say that again. The devil is a liar. Jesus said, if you will live a righteous life, if you will live that life, you will suffer hardships, persecution. Paul said those that would live a godly life will suffer persecution. Amen. That means that you're going to go through something. Listen, everybody ain't happy for your success. Everybody's not happy about your salvation. Everybody's not happy about you being blessed. Come on now. Some people are on assignment from Satan himself to buffet you. You need to ask Brother Paul, where he prayed 3 times that the thorn of his flesh be removed, but it was not. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Every once in a while, you need to understand that that personal things that happen to you are to buffet you. But the grace of God is greater, amen. It's sufficient. It will sustain you, amen. You don't have to fall here, amen. So then here we have King Solomon then. He's here to build the temple. It's just a temple for God's name to be amongst the people. It is a static place for them to come and find the presence of the Lord. In the temple, after it was put together, the priest, in 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter, they go in and they set the ark in place.
All right.
After they set the ark in place, then they begin to come out celebrating the Lord. Amen. And they begin to say, the Lord is good, for his mercy endure forever. The Bible says that as they began to sing and praise God as having one voice, then you find that the cloud descended.
Yeah.
The Shekinah glory of the Lord descended into the temple. God made his abode in the permanent place. And that's, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you can praise God and say a whole lot of things. But God is trying to get us to a place where we will celebrate him and we will lift him up. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, and seek my face, you need to repent and start calling on the name of Jesus. Right, as we began to talk the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, talking to some saints that came by, amen, and as we were speaking to them, we got on the conversation of holiness again. And let me just say it to you. There are people out here right now who are not living the life and don't want to live the life. We've gone from preaching holiness like when I came up, amen. We used to preach holy, righteous. We used to talk about purging. Oh, that's the word right there. First we will kiss us, amen. Wash me and I shall be clean. We stop talking about the process of getting ourselves right, amen. And we start talking about myself and my things. We've been so busy trying to get things and get materialistic stuff that our focus has got off of heaven and got on the earth. We stop being heavenly minded so we'd be no earthly good. To be an earthly minded and no heavenly good.
Yes.
And we got to get back to that. That's what God called us to. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had time I could preach just like I feel it. Amen. But here we see then the same thing happens here because I'm going to get to where we are going. Amen. King Solomon asked King Hiram for supplies in specific amounts, amen, from specific locations. He asked for workers, and before Solomon asked for all this, he has already provided help, amen. Let me say this. Stop asking people for handouts if you ain't going to try to put your hand out to, or if you're not trying to help to. Don't ask for people to put into the pot that you won't put into. Stop asking people to meet a need that you won't try to meet. Amen. In the household of faith, those who belong to Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, you know that I have not taken a salary. Amen. Am I right, Prophet?
Right.
Since we started the church in 2002. Because the need of the ministry superseded my personal need. But God has always sustained us so that we did not have lack for want. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I worked a good job, and then God gave me favor over there, and when God removed me from that job, he's kept us sustained ever since, amen? But I have not went after a salary. One of the things that one of my friends in the gospel when we first started back in 2002, he told me when I first started, he said, Apostle, let me tell you something. When you start your ministry, right off the bat, make sure that people give you a salary. And I said, what if we need to take care of the financial needs of the ministry first? He said, do what you can, but make sure they pay you something. I said, why is that important? He said, because then you don't have to go through committees and board and everything else trying to prove your worth later. If you already have them celebrating you at the level that you should be at, then they'll have to maintain you and keep the building up too. I said, well, that doesn't sound right. It seems to me that you should be able to focus on the church first, the work, the assignment, and allow God to do what he needs to do. See, the model that I have is this right here. Huh? Solomon is asking for everything that he needs. And then he has people coming with him. And when we go to the, let's just read this. I want y'all to see this. Amen. Let's go here. Amen. To 2 Chronicles. Amen. Lord Jesus. I think it's important for us to actually see what the proper protocol is, because sometimes we've been out here trying to get people to recognize us, and we forget that if we recognize God first, amen, then God will turn around and make sure we're taken care of. Amen? Hmm? So now here we see 2 Chronicles. Let's go to the second chapter and the first verse. And it simply says here, then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and the royal house for himself. Notice he didn't say, he wants to build him a royal temple, and he thought about the Lord and said it would be nice if he had a house too.
Right.
He said that he wanted to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for him. And he prioritized the name of the Lord's house. Okay? Because we have people who have not prioritized the work of God yet. You can go out to eat. You can go take care of all your fun stuff. You got money set aside for all of that. But you don't have $3. You don't have 2 cents for God. Hello, somebody. So when you get into a tight space, you have not invested anything in. You have not sown anything in. You cannot reap anything out. I say it all the time when we do offering. I say no seed, no harvest. Little seed, little harvest. Much seed, much harvest. Why do I say that? Because I want to remind you that naturally, when you sow one kernel in the ground, you're not going to get the whole field worth of a harvest. But the more that you sow in that field, the more is going to come up in that field. So it is in the kingdom of God that when you sow a little, you reap a little. You're going to reap, but it's not going to be on the level that you want. Stop giving out $3 and asking him for $2 billion. Stop giving God $5 and then turning around and asking God to bring you all the way out, give you the lotto numbers and let you get it 3 times in a row. Because you, listen, as long as there's something there for you to get, you're going to constantly be trying to get it. Huh? That's why it's important for us to learn to be content with Jesus. I remember we used to sing the song, I'm Happy with Jesus Alone. We stopped singing that song because our eyes got full of stuff that we wanted to. Amen?
Amen.
Solomon here says, I'm determined to build a house or a temple for the name of the Lord and a house for myself. And this is also about showing us how he set aside different ones and that were shook with the cutting and the carrying and the hewing out and the work that has to be done. Amen?
Yeah.
And so it is that when God is going to bless us, we can't come to him empty-handed. Lord, that's a nice segue right there. Because too often now we have people who want something from God, but you're too empty-handed to get anything from him. What have you provided for God to use? Hello, somebody. You, if you don't have anything there, he has nothing to... The widow came to a prophet and said, they're going to take my boys. Help me if you would. And he said, what do you have?
Yeah.
And she said, I just got a little oil and food. He said, bring that and go get every vessel that you can find. And every time she poured it, it kept pouring until every vessel was full. She poured out of that vessel, and I want you to catch this now. She poured out of the vessel until the debt was paid.
Yeah,
yeah, all right. She kept pouring until she had a blessing on top of it. She poured until there was nothing else that she could pour into. And then the Bible says the oil flow stopped. Hello?
What about three?
Oh, see, I'm going to get to that. Some of you would have took that and went a different way. But you have to understand that if you want to get anything from God, you got to come to him with something. Amen?
Amen.
That Jesus is going to feed the multitude. But before he feeds the multitude, they bring to him fishes and loaves. Do you see that? And the fishes and loaves are multiplied well past the need. So much that there were 12 baskets of fragments picked up. And they weren't just getting little finger food. The Bible says that they ate till they were satisfied.
Uh-huh.
Huh? God is not just trying to give you enough. God is trying to give you enough and overflow abundance. Amen? Huh? But first of all, you have to bring him something to work with. Amen.
Amen.
So Solomon here then, amen, thank you, Lord, begins to give him something to work with. And then he asks, and you have to understand, we don't put the wealth, amen, can I see that? We'll see here that they put the wealth into the hands of fools. Amen. What they did was they put the wealth in the hands or the resources in the hands of those who were skilled to handle. Amen. We see it with Moses. We see it with Solomon. Now, let me just say something here. Because we're dealing with a time to build. It's time to build. And ultimately, God is trying to build us. Some of you, though, have been trying to do it yourself. You have a house at Barnes & Noble that you have bought the whole self-help section of that. But you won't go ask God for nothing. You won't go to the man or woman of God. You won't lay on your face. You won't turn your face down. You're looking for a quick way that you can pay it off, that you can find 3 steps to prosperity and happiness. You're trying to find the 10 steps to abundant living. You know, all the rest of this. And those people who wrote those books, they wrote them because that's where they believe. Let me share something with you about prosperity theology. Prosperity theology is not a Christian entity. It is something that comes from Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity. The reason why you have to understand the wellness, the wholeness, and all the rest of that goes down to them showing you that if you think it, you perceive it, then you become it. So you get into your laws of attraction. You get into all these other Gnostic theology and erroneous theologies and alternative Christian theology because they sound good and they tickle your fancy without telling you the reality that if you don't honor God, if you forget God, then you shall be broken and disgusted. We have to go back to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, as I said before, and realize that it is God that gives you the power to get your wealth. So all that you're getting and all that you're going through is part of God processing for you. He's trying to make you. We're looking at the temple and we're looking at the tabernacle, amen, so that we can understand the process that he did naturally in order to build his house, amen. And now we're trying to show you how to apply that to your daily life. You see it? So there has to be resources, amen. There has to be something that you bring. Number two, you can't do it yourself. You need to trust those that God has placed in your life and over you so that you can mature and be developed. Let's go right quick, amen, to Romans. Amen. I see you. I see you, Lord. Thank you. Romans, the 10th chapter. All right, here. When we begin to look at this, let's start at the Romans 10 and 9. This is popular right here, or this is foundational to Christianity, amen? It's one of the scriptures that we use when we're dealing with souls that are coming in, amen? Let's go back up to 8, okay? Let's see right here. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, if you are trying to believe in something and you don't hear the word, you don't know what to believe in. It is the word of faith that we preach that causes you to have focus. Amen. So you know where you're preaching and why you're preaching it. What do you believe in? How do you believe? Why do you believe it? Amen. All right. So we can't just preach. Sounds good. But you have to live the life. The miracles, signs, and wonders have to follow the word. Amen. So that is the word of faith that we preach. 9th verse, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, notice this, Your heart believes into righteousness. Huh?
Yeah.
You see that? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you got to speak some things, but you got to believe some things. We understand that from the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Huh? Sometimes you can't speak positive because in your heart it's not there. So you're negative all the time, and you're looking for positive things to happen. When you're negative in everything that you do, guess what? You're messing up. God can't get the glory out of your life because you won't speak what God says about you. Amen? So your heart leads unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made until salvation. You see that? Huh?
Yeah.
Now, it goes on. Let's just read. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Is Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. And let me tell you, every time people from prosperity theology hear and see rich and all the rest of that, the first thing they're trying to do is tell people that they're rich. This word rich here means I'm so bad. Hey, you lie. Don't mean rich. What does it say? Huh? It says the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. It's talking about the mercy, the salvation. It's talking about the grace, the glory. Amen. God has bestowed that upon us. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Just because you see rich and you know what it means in your carnality, don't mean spiritually it's saying the same thing. Amen. We got to stop applying Webster's Dictionary to biblical principles. Amen. Huh? Amen.
Now that's true.
So here it says this, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see that? So forgiveness, the blood being applied richly to your sins. Huh? There it is. That's where the richness comes in. And when you when it's applied there, then you can understand exactly, amen, how good God is. Amen? Look what it says. We read on. It says, how then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So let me just say this to you. There's a lot of people who went because they saw opportunity. There's some people who went because they thought that it was a means to wealth. They said, well, you know, I don't want to really work hard for my life. I like to dress good and show up and eat all the chicken in the house and have, you know, all of that. So when people call upon me, they call, red ass sushi, yeah, well, you know, I might be able to. Okay, that's what they're looking for. So they learn how to put together an opening, get 3 points, and then at the end, and that's what they do. Okay? But when you look at their lifestyle, you see that there's nothing Christian there. Listen, if the difference between you and the sinner on the street is the fact that you got a river in front of your name, one of y'all or both of y'all need to get back to the altar. Amen?
Amen.
See, there should be a difference between the children of God and the children of Satan. Amen? There should be a difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. We're not sitting back trying to patty-cake the enemy. We're not sitting back trying to make excuses for bad behavior. We're not sitting here trying to make people think that we are going to just turn the other way or accept everything in. There has to be a standard for holiness.
Yes, sir.
See, and when you get down to preaching it, you can give God something to work with. Amen. See, when we talk about this vessel, we used to talk about, Lord, I'm here. And whatever you see, take it out. Remove it from me. Lord, if it's not pleasing in your sight, take it from me, Lord. Remove it from me. Lord, I want to please you. No, nobody but you. Lord, nothing else but you. I want more of you and less of me. Lord, let me decrease that you might increase. See, we used to pray to our demise that he might rise up inside of us. We stopped praying that because we didn't want to get too small. But brothers and sisters, if you want to have something from God, if you want to do something with what God has given you, the grace that God has given you, then you're going to have to learn how to diminish yourself so that he can come up in you. The enemy don't want you to do it. He wants to tell you that you have a right to your thoughts, a right to your lifestyle, a right to your way of thinking. But after all is said and done, he don't tell you that the wages of all of that is death. Huh? The Bible says that simply there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. He won't tell you about that because he wants you to move away from your blessing. Listen, if he can't take it from you, he'll try to trick you out of it. Somebody better ask Eve to preach that message. Ask Adam to preach the message. But thank God for the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came and redeemed us back.
Amen.
So we're here. And let's not lose it over trickery again. If God is calling for holy, let's be holy. If God is calling for righteous, let's be righteous. If God says, get it right and stop walking crooked, walk holy before me, then let's get it right and walk straight.
Amen.
So it takes something. You have to bring something to the table. You have to have something to work with. And let me just say something as I move on here, because we're still dealing with the building of the temple of God, building of the temple, amen, the permanent dwelling place. That the first temple was destroyed, amen. So when they are released, there's a second temple that is built. And those, after the 70 years of exile, who knew what the first temple was like before it was destroyed, cried at the building of the second temple because it was not on the scale of the first temple. Okay, I'm trying to show you something here now. Because what people are looking at as far as scale, it's not necessarily what God has for assignment. Huh? One thing someone was saying to me, they were looking and they saw Christ the King Redemption Ministries in Ohio and the edifice that we were in there. And then down here, we just moved into this new location and it's not on the scale of that up there. And I started to look and say, Lord, well, you know, we come from, something that was, I don't know. We're going to do what you said. And you said, do this now, do it again. And what he told me, he said, listen, I'll grow you from a seed if you trust me in it. Amen. So my faith is a seed. Amen. And where we are now is a seed. Amen. But I already know that harvest comes. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, harvest comes. Amen. I want you to know that. Amen. So the first temple is destroyed. And why is it destroyed? Because they refuse to listen to the words of the prophet who said, humble yourself before God and he will spare you. They trusted in their past successes. They trusted the Lord. They looked at what they had done before, and it was at that point that they messed up. They stopped trusting in God, and they start trusting in the gods of the world. Their Asherah. Huh? They start trusting in their idols. They start trusting in everything else. And today, brothers and sisters, you will mess up when you begin to trust in your own success. Where you did it and how you did it and who shouted your name and how great and wonderful you thought you were. After all that said and done, you're trusting in that. And when you need the Lord to stand up and validate you, he can. When you need the Lord to stand up and raise up that standard, it won't be there. The enemy comes in like a flood. He'll overtake you instead of being repelled from you. They lost the first temple. The second temple then is built. And after it's built, they cried. And the young man, the old man cried, and the young man shouted for joy. But look at what was said. The Bible says very simple. It says that the Glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Some of you are upset because God seems to be stripping some stuff away from you, moving some stuff, calling you into a more confined space, if you will. And you think that God is downgrading you. But what God is doing is he's concentrating your strength. Oh, God. Let me get this to you right quick. What happens is sometimes when you got all of that extra, you're diluted too much, so you don't have potency to what you're doing. So what has to happen is you have to go through a process which gets rid of all the extra and brings you down to your core strength. You find out that when in cooking, when they take this great big sauce or something or whatever it is, and they reduce it down or they create a reception with it, it is stronger in the smallest form. So what they have to do is they have to mix it with something so that they can actually disperse the flavor over a greater distance. You understand? So when they take it, they begin to deal with the inside of that skillet so that they can get all those little, chunks of goodness, if you will, from the browning of the meat in the oven, but they're going to make some gravy out of it, and now all you got in that skillet is what was left from the browning. Some of y'all guys have been browning and searing you and getting you ready for what's going on. And he's got you in a place where he's refining you. But while that's happening, he's sitting over there and dealing with the other part, which is the reduction. You thought it was for your divine, but God knew it was for your making. God is doing it so that as you become smaller, you become more potent. See, in today's society, your strength is in your numbers. But God, you are not against the world, it's a majority. So God is trying to get us to a place where we understand that with him we have more than we have without him. We find that all these mega churches are popping up all over the place, but they're not preaching Jesus anymore. They're preaching your best life now. And when you talk about the best life right now, they're talking about how you can have more, do more. And this is your day, and this is your time of your season. And God has designed you to have the abundant life, and you can live this life because God designed it for you. It is for your making. Brothers and sisters, God loves you, and he wants you to have the best. Okay, hold on. Are you talking about me having the best? Did you really go in and start dealing with the reality that in my life I have some issues, I have some stuff that I'm trying to deal with? Huh? I'm trying to make sure that while I'm dealing with this, amen, that I don't succumb to my proclivities. I'm trying to make sure that while I'm dealing with all of this, that I don't revert back to the old man, huh?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the blood being applied to my life, if it wasn't for the grace of God that he stood it over my life, then I would be crazy. I would be strung out. I would be dead. Something, I'd be locked up. I would have all kinds of past and history on me. But at some point in my life, God said, that's enough. I'm going to save you, and I'm going to bring you in. And what you have to do is realize that as he begins to strip off of me everything that I didn't need, he begins to add to me what was needed. Let me go back to that skillet right quick. In that skillet, everything that was left in that skillet was just the brown part. Huh? And in order to bring the flavor out, they sometimes take something like apple cider vinegar or a type of cooking wine or some type of other liquid, broth, chicken broth, beef broth, or some other type of liquid in to mix with that. And that right there, it becomes the basis when you add in a flour or whatever it is, then it begins to thicken up, and now you got some good gravy right there, amen. That on top of whatever you put in potato meat or otherwise will make it all the much more better. But guess what? If it hadn't been for that fire in the skillet and that reduction, you wouldn't have the ability to be savory and desirable later. All y'all asking for gravy in your life. I want a good gravy life. You see that? But you don't want to go through the process of being gravy. Huh? That's trying to make you. And sometimes he has to reduce you to do it. What's that into our reduced life is the Holy Spirit. When he comes in and he's mixed with us, then we begin to take on a savory life. Y'all see that? The enemy thought he fried eyed and crucified us, but after all was said and done, he left the park. He thought it didn't mean nothing. And it was from that that he left the remnant that God raised me up to be who I am today. Thank God some of that stuff was taken from me. Thank God he took stuff and removed stuff from me that I didn't have common sense enough to let go of. Thank God he removed stuff from me that I was too stubborn to let go of. He caused it to be violently ripped from me. And I felt it was being done at the time. But as I looked back over my life to see what he did for me, God was blessing me. God was keeping me. God was preparing me for the life that I have today. And you can have a better life. Sometimes you have to recognize that the process that you're going through ain't always the best feeling one. But at the end of the day, after all is said and done, God's grace and mercy have brought you to some place that you couldn't get to outside of the process. Brothers and sisters, God loves you, and we love you too. I talked to you about what God is doing around the world, and I want you to realize and recognize that God is still doing that. We have sons and daughters across seas. They ask for your financial support. We come to you and ask you for it because I know that if you sow a little, then God can bless a lot. Amen? And it's as you sow that God begins to return to you. I read to you the scripture in Proverbs that if when you lend to you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he shall repay it.
Yeah.
Huh? We know that as often as we have given, God has given us back in abundance of what we gave. So we give because we know that as we give, it might be down to my last. And as soon as I say this is my last, God turn around and have somebody say, Pastor, Lord told me just come over and bless you a little bit, here's something. I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord laid it upon my house to come and be a blessing to you. And I tell you, every time that it happens, I can sit back after they walk around the corner and say, Lord, you know you did it again. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I'm encouraged and I'm excited because we are going on in the Lord and we're going to do greater works, amen. I keep saying this, they that know their God, they that know the Lord will do great works and do great exploits. Brothers and sisters, let's come to know him and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God, amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this time. Lord, even as you are building us, help us, Lord, to stay on track. Help us to stay in the process, Lord. There are things that have to happen at this point that you have to do for us. Help us to understand that in the name of Jesus. Now, I pray for anyone, Lord, who's not saved, that they would simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I pray that if they pray that prayer that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching a church or a ministry where they can be fed and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. In the name of Jesus. Now, I speak to the sick and the shut-in. I speak to those who need deliverance, for those who need a touch on your life, for those who need healing. Lord, I pray right now that it manifest in the name of Jesus so that it bring glory to the Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Now, listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, I pray that you come a vision partner with us. On the website, you'll see donate buttons. Please, I pray that you will click the button. Let the Lord lead you to spread this gospel around the world. Your financial gift is received, and we're 501c3, which means that you, if your locale will allow you, you can count it towards your charitable contribution for the IRS. Let us know. We'll make sure that we get you the proper documents back. Amen? Amen. I'm an Apostle Christopher McQueen, and for Prophetess Crystal McQueen, I want you to know that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and we'll see you on Thursday night for Prophetic Atmosphere with Prophetess Crystal McQueen.